going to begin this time of our service with a reading written by Robert Walsh, and it's titled, It Matters. I knew a man who had printed on his stationery this proverb, nothing is settled, everything matters. It established a certain ambiance for reading his letters, as if to say, what you are about to read is to be taken seriously, but it's not final. I remember him and his proverbs sometimes, especially when it seems impossible to change the world or change myself in any significant way. Times like the beginning of New Year's. Sorry, Jim, I say, it's not true that nothing is settled. In the past year, choices have been made, losses have been suffered, there has been growth and decay, there have been commitments and betrayals, and none of that can be undone. A year ago, no one knew whether this year one person would become pregnant, another one would get cancer, another would get a new job, another would have an accident. But now, it is settled. One day this year, I was present just when someone needed me. Another day, I was busy doing something else when I was needed. One day, I said something to a friend that injured our relationship. Another day, I said something that enabled a person to see their life a new way. The best and the worst of those days is now written. All my tears of joy or sorrow cannot erase it. If I stay with my meditation long enough, the reply comes, Robbie, says Jim, you have misunderstood the proverb. It is true that you cannot escape the consequences of your actions or the chances of the world. But what is not settled is how the story turns out. What is not settled is what the meaning of your life will be. The meaning of a life is not contained within one act or one day or one year. As long as you are alive, the story of your life is still being told, and the meaning is still open. As long as there is life in the world, the story of the world is still being told. What is done, but nothing is settled. And if nothing is settled, then everything matters. Every choice, every act in this new year matters. Every word, every deed is making the meaning of your life and telling the story of the world. Everything matters in the year coming, and more importantly, everything matters today. Well, happy 2023, everyone. I know we had Neil led our annual Out of the Ashes service last week, but I'm continuing with that theme today in a different way. So here we are at the start of another calendar year, and part of what the new year means is we are all subjected to an annual advertising blitz for all the services and products that people need to go along with their New Year's resolutions. And you can probably name them off just as easily as I can, right? All the dating sites and the dating apps, gym memberships, exercise equipment, diet pills, food services to get food delivered to your home, teeth aligners, teeth whitening, right? And on and on that list could go. Some of those messages, especially to UUs, are a bit problematic in the kind of gender norms they may suggest and that sort of thing. Others are just plain superficial. Others of them are serving genuine needs that people have to improve their lives. And that impulse, the desire to improve ourselves, the desire to grow, that's very human, and in fact, it's laudable, right? We all want to grow and improve ourselves, I assume. The problem is that resolutions often end up having the opposite effect. We often don't achieve them, or don't achieve them in the way that we originally conceived or imagined them. And instead of improving ourselves, oftentimes resolutions end up eroding our sense of self. Oh, gee, there's another thing I failed at. I don't know how to set a goal. I don't know how to achieve a goal. Well, today I want to get us thinking about how can we be more successful at achieving our resolutions, at setting goals, and getting goals. Where I believe we often go awry is that we make two kinds of mistakes. One common mistake seems to be that our first steps towards a goal are inauthentic ones. I'll give you a personal example. So let's say I set the goal or the resolution to get more exercise and lose some weight. All my pants are tight. I'm still wearing my COVID 20. That probably wouldn't be a bad goal. Now, if that's my goal, buying a gym membership for me is inauthentic. I've tried exercise machines before. I feel like a little hamster on a wheel. In a minute, I'm sick of it, and talking myself into going back a second time takes a lot of effort. I ain't gonna go do that again. It's miserable to me. So all those ads for gym memberships and exercise equipment, they're designed to be very tempting. That's why it's an advertisement. And it might be very easy for me to be sitting there on my couch watching TV saying, hey, I got this goal. There I go. There's the first step, gym membership. Good for me, I took a step. But in here, and in here, I know I'm being phony. That's totally unauthentic. I know that that's not for me. Now, I can create a narrative in my head, oh, but it's my resolution, so surely this time it's going to be different. But I know that whatever kind of narrative I might create around a gym membership is going to be good for me, and that's a good first step. I know it's not something I'm going to commit to. Buying a gym membership, what's it going to do? All it's going to do is make me feel good for a little while. That, hey, I took a step, I made some progress. But in fact, what have I done? I've embedded self-sabotage and failure from the get-go. Because I made a goal, and then my first step towards the goal was something dumb for me. So where am I going to end up? Well, I'm not going to end up at the gym. I know that already. So where am I going to end up? I'm going to end up circling right back to the same goal again, right? On some other day. And what will the journey around that circle, around that loop look like? It's probably going to be mired in a whole lot of negative self-talk, right? About how I set a goal and I didn't achieve the goal and I can't ever accomplish anything. So for me, if that's my goal, what would be an authentic, not phony first step? Well, if I put aside all of that cultural messaging about how to get some exercise, for me, it would be find a walking buddy. When I exercise, I like to be in motion, not stationary. Go to the roller rink. I love roller skating. Make some more friends at pickleball, which would help motivate me to go play more pickleball. I'm still learning that it's not tennis. I don't know if you play pickleball. The ball doesn't bounce. I used to play tennis a lot. So for me, those are the things, walking, skating, pickleball, those are the things that make me enjoy exercise, help fold in some accountability and make it easier to go do it some more. Right? So for me, that would be a genuine and authentic first step. And all it takes is a little bit of introspection to know what I like and I don't like about exercise to help me set an authentic first step. So that's one common mistake, I think, is that we too often take our first step not from ourselves, but from others. From the broader culture, from advertising, maybe from our buddy. Oh, it was successful for them, so I'll do that. Like, well, maybe the way your buddy did it isn't the way this is going to work for you, right? We need to find what works for ourselves. A second common mistake I think we often make is that we don't set goals that are right-sized. Sometimes the goal might simply be too big, but sometimes we might also lack a path or a picture about how to get from A over there to B, the goal. I had this friend growing up, and we stayed in touch in the young adulthood. One time I went over to his house, and he's got a bunch of magazine pictures on the wall. Let's call him Sigmund. Hey, Sigmund. His name wasn't Sigmund. Hey, Sigmund, what's going on with the magazine pictures? Oh, I went to a seminar of a guy who got rich quick, And he told us, you cut out your goals, and these were all material goals, a speedboat and a big house and that, and then you put them on your wall. And then see, now every day you see that. Uh-huh. All right, now how do you go from I'm living in a trailer with my parents to multimillionaire? What's the path, right? You can't just putting some pictures on your wall isn't going to make anybody rich. Now, is there power in positive thinking and in visualization? Well, sure, but obviously it's going to take more than that. What are the steps? Sigmund didn't have any kind of a plan or anything to act on other than put up some pictures. It equals get rich quick, because a get rich quick guy told me so. Author Hillary Zig Ziglar wrote this, a goal properly set is halfway reached. A goal properly set is halfway reached. All of our goals, especially the big ones, they need a vision, they need a plan. And not only that, but the plan and the stations along the way, they help create a sense of confidence and make it easier to move on to the next step. Sometimes I find it helpful to think about pilgrimages and how they work. So pilgrimage, if you're not familiar, it's a walking journey, a spiritual walking journey. Most of them in the world average 200 to 300 miles. So if you got there on the first day and the story in your head is, I'm going to walk 300 miles. That'd be pretty daunting, wouldn't it? They create stations, right? Your goal for that day is just to get to the first station, typically 10 to 15 miles, which is still an impressive amount of walking. But 10 to 15, that's your goal. That's all you're worried about for now. And then the next day, you move to another station, another and another. And eventually, it adds up to hundreds of miles. But if you start out on that walk day, on that first day, look at me walking 300 miles. Right, that's pretty intimidating. But when we break it down into those digestible and achievable goals, then the grander goal gets much more realistic and easier to achieve. So setting an authentic goal, a right-sized goal, with some good signposting along the way, this is one approach to goal getting. I'm offering it for your consideration. And it's an approach that emphasizes authenticity and genuineness and in the goal, but also in what we do to work towards them. But my approach is by no means authoritative or the only one worth considering. So what I want to do now is open up the floor so that we can talk about other approaches that you have tried that have either been successful or unsuccessful, because sometimes there's a lot to learn on what didn't work for you as well. So let's open the floor to other ideas or alternatives to resolutions that have worked for some of you. I have a plant in the audience. It's not Annie.
Gee, are you used really?
Oh, Natalie's my plant.
I was going to say, are you used really bad at completing anything?
So, hi, I'm Natalie. One of the things that I have found has been successful came after many, many years of saying, like, I'm going to set just 3 goals, but doing exactly what Joel said and setting the goal and then immediately choosing things that other people would do that didn't work for me. So about 10 years ago, I decided to stop choosing a goal and instead choose a word to guide me. And then my path towards that was to say, if this is the word that guides me this year, when I would have an opportunity to move closer to that word, I would try to. And when things would happen that were trying to push me away from that word, I would try to step back and not take that choice. So I've used words like simplicity, which is a word I chose when I had young kids and was probably really bad because they just complicate your life. but did help me a lot when my children were really young to enjoy the simple moments with them that year and what that brought. I've chosen the word, last year my word was strong, And that really helped me when I had a couple of periods throughout the year where I didn't feel strong, to remember all the ways that I am already strong and to step into that. This coming year, I've already chosen my word. It's going to be thrive. And I know it's only been 2 weeks, but it's already made me think of, I've only one plant at home that I've managed to keep alive longer than a year now. It's not my strength, but thinking of pruning and what I have to prune out of my life in order for me to thrive. So choosing the word has been really helpful for me, because it's how I think about things anyway. And so I can make choices that align with it. Plus, it's very nice at the end of the year to sit down and just make a list, like, okay, how was I strong this year? Where wasn't I strong? What did I learn about being strong without it being a definite yes, no? I can do that. I can thrive. I can be strong. I can do these words. So it's been very helpful to me.
And Natalie, did you come up with the notion of a word on your own? Or?
I did not. Oh, okay. Absolutely not. And I wish I wrote down where I read it, but I read an article that stuck with me of somebody who suggested people do that around New Year's or around their birthday or whenever they wanted to kind of recommit, because, one, there's power in words. But also it's something that you kind of lose that cycle of negativity that you were talking about, because it's okay to say, if my word was strong, wow, today I was not strong, but I'm thinking about being strong. And, you know, getting yourself into that, I can do that, small things that I can do that lead towards that goal without it being a black and white is what it was talking about.
Right, yeah. Oftentimes resolutions, we set them in a way that's pass-fail, right? You did it or you don't do it, right? Something like a word. Right, it's not pass-fail.
I mean, even if I think about it on December 31st, I still pass.
That's exactly right. Well, the reason I asked whether you came up with that on your own or not is that when I was looking around for alternatives, this showed up all over the place. So
yeah.
this seems to be growing wisdom about alternatives to resolutions.
It was definitely, when I first started, it was about 10, 11 years ago, because I have all of my words written down, but I didn't see it a lot of places, and it seems like it's really grown a lot since then, which I think is because there's people like me that it works for, and mm-hmm. So they're now telling what their words are, and more people are going that route.
So what that word was, I mean, there could be all kinds of options. Some folks suggested picking a theme. Other selected picking a passion. So there's all kinds of ways that you could think about this. But again, the advantage of a word, a theme, a passion, is it's not pass-fail. It's just something that helps us, helps to guide us through the year. What else has worked for you or hasn't worked for you?
I was just going to comment real quick that I think the word I would pick, since I'm trying not to get in more things, is don't.
I'm a big believer in habits and the effect over time of habits on our lives. And so for me, it's easier for me to start a habit than it is to stop a habit. Like, I've been eating way too many sweets, and so I'm trying hard to cut back on that, but it's difficult. But for me, like, exercising is a habit that I've had for a while, and instead of setting for myself, well, I'm going to burn this many calories today, I said to myself, I'm going to exercise at all. I'm just going to exercise. So, you know, some days I get going on the exercise and I'm like, boy, this feels great. And then I'll burn a lot of calories, you know, I'll walk a long distance or get on the exercise bike. But some days it's like, yeah, I really don't feel like doing this, but I'm trying to set the habit of doing it. So just getting on the exercise bike at all and making any kind of an effort at it counts for that day. So for me, it's just the repetitive nature of it. And, you know, I don't make resolutions. I just focus on improving my life through habits.
Yeah. In graduate school, I read a book that advocated that same wisdom. It was called Writing Your Dissertation in 15 Minutes a Day. And the author said, well, if you only wrote it 15 minutes a day, you're probably not going to meet with success. Her point was that whatever days you set aside to work on this gigantic project, never, ever make an excuse. Always do it. Even if you went to the emergency room that day, still sit down and do it for 15 minutes, because it's making that habit then. And you're not making excuses for yourself about why you can't do it or shouldn't do it. Just do it.
For me personally, I've had to remind myself of why a goal is a goal. I want to eat better and I want to exercise more, but I can get in this mindset where I'm making myself miserable trying to do those things, and that's not the point of it. The point is that I do want to feel healthier and, I don't know, emotionally better, but if I'm pushing myself to do things I'm not really ready for, it's against the purpose of it. And so I think it helps me to kind of use my emotions to gauge that, well, I hate what I'm doing. I hate my life every day because of these goals. Well, then you're not doing it right. That's not what it's for.
I think having a very clear and realistic vision of what the result of achieving that goal will be is crucial to sticking with a goal. And that anytime you set a goal, you have to be realistic and realize that if you achieve that goal, other things are going to change, and that there are going to be opportunity costs in trying to achieve that goal. So that's, you know, you set a goal of I'm going to increase my income by so much next year. Well, you have to be realistic in terms of what work is going to be involved in doing that and what other things in your life may change as a result of achieving that goal. So without a realistic vision, I don't think goals are likely to be achieved.
Last New Year's, I set probably the only goal, as far as New Year's resolutions goes, that I've ever kept. I had read Dr. Wayne Dyer's book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, which is the 81 verses of the Tao. And I had just read it straight through. So I thought, you know what? Why don't I do what he did when he wrote the book, which was to take it verse by verse. And so I have taken a verse a week this week, and I think I'm on verse 51 today. So starting on Sunday, I read it, and then I think about it, and then the next day I do the same thing all week. And I have kept at it, and I have had some amazing kind of revelations in my mind and in my psyche during this year. And so I'm pleased that I have done that.
Hey there. So I read a really excellent book, if you're interested in building good habits, which was Atomic Habits. And I've read a bunch of books. And this is a really good book. It breaks it down. And a couple of things that the takeaway is, you have to prepare your environment for what you want to achieve, right? You can't diet if you've got a pantry full of junk food. So, but one of the things that stuck with me after that was every action you take, and this really ties into all the other good advice, is every action you take is a vote on who you want to be tomorrow. So when I come to a sort of a crossroads on something and go, is this what I want to do? And it's not just food or exercise, but just who I want to be. I try to stop in the moment and go, is this a vote? Is this a direction that I want to be taking my life? And sometimes I make the right decision, and sometimes, of course, I don't. But I thought that was an interesting thing to sort of think about it. It kind of keeps us very present in our goal setting, in our life choices. It's like, is this a vote for who I want to be tomorrow or who I want to be 6 months from now? And it breaks it down to very small decisions.
Thank you all for sharing, and thank you for your wisdom. I'm going to drop one more into our conversation here, which
I didn't come up with myself. It's something I encountered while writing the sermon, which I thought was a very interesting way to think about this. And this strategy is to not focus on the self, or at least not directly, focus on the self indirectly by focusing on others. Make your goal spreading happiness and engaging in acts of kindness, which of course then come back around. But I thought that that was an interesting take, is to make it the practice external and let the internal come about indirectly. So perhaps our best takeaway for today is that we might be well served in some careful consideration and making the goals and our strategies towards our goals our own. Capitalism has all kinds of ideas for us. That doesn't mean that they're good ideas. And I wish each and every one of us the very best in goal setting and in goal getting, with whatever strategies that best match who you are. May your 2023 be filled with many blessings and many achievements. And we're going to close out our service, Annie, with our closing song, 354, We Laugh, We Cry.